La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 8 of TritonCast, the official podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside Jeff Toriel, I'm Jenny Stevens.
Coming up in today's Triton Spotlight, we chat with men's basketball alum Adam Cly. The former CCAA Player of the Year graduated in 2017 with a perfect 4.0 GPA in bioengineering. After graduating, he played professional basketball in both Canada and Germany. How was his experience playing internationally? And why is Adam Cly back at UC San Diego now? We'll find out in the Triton Spotlight.
But first, we go around campus. Our Between Two Zooms interview series continues on UCSDTritons.com. Check out the most recent episode where Ted Mendenhall sat down with NCAA champion Spencer Daly of the swim team. Also, be sure to visit the website for women's volleyball coach Ricky Ludes' latest interview. He chatted with the Big West Conference for their series Small Talk Wednesday.
Now, it's on to our Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with men's basketball alum Adam Cly.
Adam, let's go all the way back to your high school career to start off, because you really excelled at Service High School in Anchorage, Alaska. You were named the Alaska Basketball Player of the Year back in 2013. So after all that, how did you decide that you wanted to come to UC San Diego?
Yeah, it's not a typical connection, the Anchorage to San Diego. I know a couple people from Alaska who have come through here, and that's actually kind of where it started off. I had a soccer coach. I played soccer in high school as well, who was an alum. And also was kind of helping me with the recruiting process and finding the right school for me academically and athletically. And he was a very high recommendation of UC San Diego. And once I started kind of researching the school and what kind of degree I could get, basically the academic side of things really drew me to UC San Diego. And once I got in touch with the team, they reciprocated some of that interest in having me come and play. And from there, I just, I liked the place, I liked the school, I liked the team, and it seemed like a good fit, and it turned out to be that way.
How was that transition for you from high school to college basketball?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big jump for anybody. In terms of just the level of play basketball wise. But I was fortunate to come in, at a time when, there was some kind of changes being made. Olin was just becoming the head coach the first year there. And so I had a chance to really prove myself as a player through my work ethic mostly. So, I think transitioning physically and with the basketball stuff kind of came along with that. Transitioning from Alaska to San Diego wasn't very hard at all, kind of given the differences there. San Diego was pretty nice. But yeah, just from a transition standpoint, it's definitely a big jump. But I had, good teammates around me and a really good coach, so it made it a little bit easier in that regard.
Yeah, you mentioned it was the early years for Coach Olin, who's obviously still here today. Talk about the team culture that he had in place at that time.
Yeah, I think he was trying to build it, right? That first couple of years, he was really trying to build that kind of, we're always trying to get better. Each day is an opportunity to improve. A team camaraderie needed to be built. The right guys we wanted to be in the building were in the building. So we had a really good group that year. Myself, a couple of the older guys and a couple of the young guys who maybe were a little bit ahead of me, really work towards building that kind of culture of winning and excelling and kind of raising the bar each and every day and each and every practice. And I think that really starts with Coach Olin right from the top. And that's carried over past my years where every year it seems like they just keep getting a little bit better, keep getting a little bit better and kind of improving their standing and the result at the end of the year as well. So it's going to be exciting to see, where he's able to take the team going into this kind of Division I transition as well.
And of course, while you were there, you helped the Tritons reach new heights. I mean, they had the most successful season ever. They set program records for wins, for conference wins. And of course, while you were there, the Tritons won the first ever conference regular season title. So talk a little bit about what it was like to be able to bring that program to new heights while you were there.
Yeah, it was definitely, kind of the highlight that last year, being able to kind of capture that title, the first one for the basketball program, Division II in CCAA. And it was just a building thing, right? I kind of mentioned it was just like a you saw the hard work of 4 years each and every day kind of coming in and trying to have the right attitude and trying to improve, kind of pay off towards the end there. And it was, you know, I think that's one of the things I'm most proud about, you know, beyond any sort of statistics or, you know, anything like that. Just the fact that every single year we got a little bit better and we built. And I do take some pride in the fact that that group, including myself, was able to kind of set the stage for these other guys coming in and the seasons they've had since I graduated. You know, I followed UC San Diego basketball pretty closely since I graduated. And it's exciting to see, you know, kind of all that effort, you know, pay off in the time when I, you know, last year we were playing and we were able to win that conference championship. But even beyond that, just how it's carried over. I do take a lot of pride in that. I know I share it amongst the guys who did graduate with me or who played with me at that time.
Yeah, you mentioned that regular season title was a huge highlight for you. And when you look back on your career at UC San Diego, what other athletic accomplishments for the team really stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a couple good years towards those last 2 years where we made it to the Sweet 16, the Division II tournament, and we're pretty close to winning both those games. You know, we were competitive in those games and a chance to go to the Elite Eight, you know, in Division II. There's no Final Four per se. There are Final Four teams, but the Elite Eight is kind of the Final Four version in Division II. And so we came really close 2 years in a row to making that happen. But, you know, beyond just the winning the conference championship, the runs we had in those postseasons were amongst my, you know, favorite memories. They're the most fun basketball games to play in. You know, they're those kind of, yeah, those times in March when you're with all your teammates and it just, you know, you're seeing how far you can take this thing, or in the locker rooms after big wins and stuff like that are just, you know, the biggest and most fond memories I have of during that time. And I think were tremendous accomplishments for the program and a lot of fun to be a part of.
And of course, you were successful with the team, but you were also very successful as an individual, earning CCAA honors every year. You were an All-West Region honoree. And now you're the Division II leading scorer for the Tritons forever, since the Tritons are in Division I now. So when you look back on all those things you accomplished, are there any that you're particularly proud of?
You know, I think individual awards have never been something I focused on. Obviously, they're nice to have. You know, I think for me personally, it was just kind of the progression, similarly to with the team, right? Where, you know, I saw numbers and, you know, just my individual performances improve every single year as I got more comfortable with the conference, with the team, with myself. You know, I do take some pride in the records. Obviously, it's nice to be the Division II forever all-time leading scorer. Though I think if Christian Oshita or Chris Hansen had a little more games and Chris hadn't gotten hurt, that record probably wouldn't be standing. So there's a little bit of bittersweetness there for sure. But you know, I think winning Conference Player of the Year is definitely something that was very exciting and something I wanted to achieve and wanted to have happen, and it did. So that was great. But, you know, I think, like I said, the progression of just kind of the improvement each year was something I take a lot more pride in than the actual awards that I received.
How were you able to keep elevating your game every year?
I think, again, it starts with having great teammates and a great coaching staff that kind of helped you help make you want to be better, you know, to actually make the team better. You know, I definitely came in with some drive, and I think my teammates and my coaches helped me really focus that on aspects of my game that I could improve. And you know, the work ethic was not all brought by me, but was definitely helped along by having those kind of people around me that really pushed me to be better every single day.
Yeah, it sounds like it was an incredible group while you were there. What do you think it was that made that team so special and have such a great bond?
You know, people do talk about chemistry, you know, a lot. And I definitely think we had that. But I think part of it was just that process that I mentioned, you know, like we were building something. That's the way we felt, you know, as a staff, as players. And, you know, we had a lot of roster turnover through the first couple of years, you know, which happens, but especially when times are kind of changing this with a new coach, all that kind of stuff. And we felt like we had a group of guys that stuck around that really were committed to what we were trying to do. And being around those kind of guys and, you know, just made that environment special. It was just a special team to play with, you know, not necessarily even from a talent standpoint. Obviously we had to have talent to win games, but I think just from a cohesiveness. That was one of the, you know, the best teams I've been a part of, and I think will be a big highlight for me. And it's going to be tough to see if I can find a team of people going forward that I'm going to be able to share that with again. And that's kind of part of the goal of the post athletic life. But yeah, as you said, that team, you know, from that kind of standpoint was very special. And, you know, I look back on that with a lot of fond memories and, you know, appreciate my time with those guys.
You were very committed to the team. And of course, you were also very committed in the classroom. You graduated with a 4.0, got your degree in bioengineering. So how were you able to balance academics and athletics so successfully?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I often tell people, you know, who kind of ask maybe a similar type of question, that I think they actually helped each other. You know, I think if I had just been an athlete or just been a student, I don't think I would have been able to organize myself, focus myself quite as much as I did when I was a student athlete. I think, you know, having to be very, you know, efficient with my time management, all that kind of stuff, you know, it translated from one thing to the other. And the same approach that I took on the basketball court every single day, I applied to school, which was just kind of to keep improving, to keep getting reps in all the time. And I always say the more reps you get with even, you know, knowledge in school and classes and stuff, the more likely you are to remember material and do well on tests and all that kind of stuff. But I think I was very fortunate, also to have, you know, supportive people around me and very supportive professors, that kind of thing. I think the fluidity of the student athlete experience was very good for me at this university and with the school and with the basketball program. They helped me make it possible to like to be an engineer and this and an athlete at the same time. But yeah, I think really at the end of the day, I think being a student athlete kind of made me focus in the classroom maybe more than it would have if I wasn't an athlete.
You mentioned how time management was something that was key. Was that something that came naturally to you, or was that challenging to, I mean, really schedule out your time and have time for everything that you did?
Yeah, I mean, I think I did a little bit in high school. I think, you know, you're still a student athlete in high school. It's not quite as demanding as UC San Diego, obviously. But I think that was a skill that I definitely learned a little bit about in high school. And it does help that I have, you know, two engineer parents. So I think maybe that a little bit is genetic, kind of the planning, processing, all that kind of stuff, especially from my father and more my mother in school, actually. But yeah, I think that was a little bit kind of inherent coming into school. But like I said, I think I wanted to be successful, right? That was kind of a goal in both the classroom and on the court. And the kind of the rigors of being a student athlete at UC San Diego sort of almost forced that to an extent, I would say. And again, I think it comes from, you know, having people in around you that kind of support that and help you. And I think I had a lot of that from, you know, coaches, teammates, and even roommates, you know, kind of early on in the process that made that time management aspect, kind of balancing things the way I could, the way I felt comfortable with a lot easier.
Yeah. I mean, the support is obviously a very big part of it. And you mentioned your parents a little bit earlier. Were they back in Alaska at the time, or how were they supporting you during your college experience?
Yeah. So they actually, what they would do every single year, you know, that I was there, the 4 years I was basically there, is they were both retired. They are retired. They were retired at the time. They would actually rent a place in Solana Beach, 15 minutes north of campus. And for the winter, they would come down in November, basically when games started, and leave in March, April when games ended. And they would travel around with the team and show up to every single game. Pretty much, I think they missed like two or three total games. Maybe I could be even overestimating that. And, you know, I'd go to their house, their condo they rented in Solana Beach, you know, once a week, maybe while they were here, once every 2 weeks, and have a meal with them and stuff. So they, during that time, provided a ton of support, you know, physically being here at the games and that kind of stuff. And I'm definitely very thankful, because that helped me get through a lot of the ups and downs potentially of the 4 years. But even when they were in Alaska, or they now live in Michigan, but even when they were kind of away, you know, constant phone calls, FaceTime messages, that kind of stuff, they've always been very supportive of basically everything I've tried to do. And they're a big reason why I was able to achieve some of the successes that I did when I was a student and post UC San Diego undergrad.
Since your parents both had engineering backgrounds, was that part of why you decided to go into bioengineering as a major?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was kind of maybe instilled upon me from a very early age. And I don't think it was forced, though. It was something, math, science, that I had always kind of been drawn to. And, you know, that was definitely fostered in high school with a lot of the classes that I took. And my mom was very supportive of the idea of doing kind of bioengineering because she sort of saw that as the new age technology, all that, you know, medicine, all that kind of stuff centered around kind of these principles of bioengineering, you could say. And so kind of partially just listening to my mom's good advice, which turned out to be very good advice, I kind of followed down that path, but also I had just a fascination with biology and the way, you know, the nuts and bolts of what makes, you know, things life was always fascinating to me. And I loved math and that kind of thing. So it was kind of like a good marriage between those things, which kind of drew me to doing engineering and bioengineering, especially at UC San Diego.
That's clearly a challenging major, and yet you still excelled in that area. I mean, you were named COSIDA Academic All-American of the Year for your efforts. You were named the CCAA Scholar Athlete of the Year. So what did all that recognition for your pursuits in the classroom mean to you?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely validating. You know, like it's nice to kind of get some recognition for a lot of the hard work and efforts you put in. You know, I definitely wanted to finish my career with a 4.0. I tried not to make it an obsession. Although some people might argue that it was that exact thing. But I mean, it's definitely validating. It's exciting. You know, like I said, individual awards are not something I necessarily focus on achieving, but they are nice to have. And the recognition is definitely makes you feel good about yourself. And I was definitely proud of those accomplishments and how I was able to kind of succeed both in the classroom and, you know, on the court while I was at UC San Diego for undergrad.
We're joined by Adam Cly here on this episode of TritonCast. Adam, talk about that decision you made to pursue pro basketball. Was that a difficult decision for you?
Yeah, it was. I don't know if difficult is the right word. It was kind of I'd say maybe a weird decision. You know, I towards my senior year of college, I, you know, was obviously as many juniors to seniors, you know, that people, you know, students in that range are thinking about post graduation plans and that kind of thing. And, you know, I guess part of me kind of wanted to postpone dealing with real world stuff as long as possible. So I had narrowed it down to attending graduate school or trying to play professional basketball for a time. You know, both those options kind of seeming like they were prolonging real world experiences a little bit more. But, you know, I think around that time especially when, you know, my senior year, I try not to focus on it too much, but I felt that the potential for playing professional basketball after I finished was going to be there. And that kind of manifested itself when I did finish. You know, after that last game, I started to get in contact with agents, teams, et cetera, who seemed interested in having me play. So the prospects looked good. And once that came around, I sort of said, oh, well, maybe we should give this a try. You know, I kind of had it in the back of my mind that I would return to school eventually. A PhD in kind of the field I'm in is what I sort of said, oh, that's the long-term plan. But, you know, while I have the chance, I might as well try out, you know, the professional basketball world for at least a couple of years. So there wasn't any definite plan about exactly how long I want to stay in, exactly how I wanted to go. But, you know, towards the end of my senior year, when interest started coming my way for potentially playing, I was pretty adamant about at least giving it a try.
So you started off with the Niagara River Lions in 2017. Was that transition going from San Diego to Canada challenging for you, or how was it living in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a little bit of the opposite, the move in terms of maybe the climate mostly the climate, you know, going from Anchorage to San Diego and then San Diego to Niagara, although Niagara is not quite as cold as Anchorage, Alaska. But, you know, it felt a little bit more like being back in Alaska, being back home. But I think transitioning to another English-speaking place, and Niagara's very, very close to the U.S. border. You know, Niagara Falls itself, you can look over at the U.S. basically. You know, it's not that different in terms of the culture. You know, the Canadian people are pretty awesome. You know, you hear a lot about how nice they are, that kind of thing is the stereotype, I guess. And I would validate those based on my experience, just because I met so many wonderful people up there. But, you know, I came to a really nice place and with a lot of really nice people and, you know, an organization that treated me very well. So they made that transition from, you know, just from the living situation wise, a lot easier. And it wasn't a huge deal, I would say, going from San Diego to Niagara.
What was the culture like surrounding professional basketball in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, so that league, I don't know how long it had been around, and I'm forgetting the year it started, but I think it was a relatively newer league. And, you know, I think being so close to the U.S., the Canadian Basketball League draws a lot of American players. You know, each team, I don't know what the deal is now, but when I played, there was, you know, you could have five American players, whereas if you go to other leagues in Europe, usually it's two to three, depending on some other ones, they can have a couple more. But there's a lot of American players. There's a lot of players who, like me, kind of wanted to stay a little bit closer to, you know, so the transition maybe wasn't as big. But it's a very, very talented league. There's a lot of guys who have, you know, maybe even had previous NBA experience, previous G League experience. It was the D League before. You know, so very, very talented. Played with guys who went to major universities, were really good players in big-time conferences. So it was definitely a step up in terms of having a lot of really, really talented basketball individuals, both Canadian and American around me. And like I said, really athletic, skilled basketball league.
Yeah, you mentioned it was a big step up. But how exactly does professional basketball differ from basketball at the college level?
Yeah, I mean, it's the basketball itself is maybe a little less organized, especially for me coming from UC San Diego, where we have a lot of structure and we try to do things a very, you know, certain way. You know, it's much less organized in that way. It's a lot faster. I think, you know, we're speeding up the shot clock in college basketball a lot, but 24-second shot clock is something that really speeds up the game a lot more. You know, in terms of the lifestyle of basketball, it's not as structured as being a student athlete. You have a kind of a lot more free time, a lot more, you know, time to kind of choose what you want to do with yourself, basically. You know, not as many commitments, even basketball wise, I would say. So it's definitely a lot different than being a UC San Diego student athlete, just the professional basketball lifestyle. And that was a big thing for me that I had to adjust to in that first year, for sure. But I think, like, you know, I've said before, you know, I talked about Canadian basketball that first year in Canada, a lot of the same principles that, you know, I learned as a UC San Diego basketball player applied, and it's still basketball, right? The court's still 94 feet. The free throw line's 15 feet from, you know, the classic Hoosiers kind of analogy reference there. But, you know, definitely a different style of basketball in Canada and professionally in general, that takes a little bit of time getting used to, coming from, especially somewhere like UC San Diego.
So since you no longer had classes to attend on the side, what were you up to when you weren't playing basketball?
Yeah, so I had to kind of, you know, I had been someone who spent most of my time in the gym or library for 4 years, essentially. And so the transitioning to having all this free time was, I had to kind of figure out what to do with myself. And one of the things I gravitated towards, I picked up something that's actually stuck with me. I picked up the guitar for the first time. During my first year in Canada, my father is a very good guitar player, has played for a lot of years, and I'd never been instrumental, never been musical, never played an instrument basically at all growing up. So I figured, why not try to learn and play now? So that was something I sunk a lot of time into, but also just, you know, I got into a little bit into yoga, trying a couple new things here or there. I definitely watched a lot more TV than I did when I was an undergrad at UC San Diego. And I tried to, because I knew kind of in the back of my mind, I wanted to come back to university, to graduate school, to stay as up to date as I possibly could, with some of the stuff going on in my field that I wanted to get into. And, you know, that was more of a struggle sometimes than others, but, you know, I also hung out with teammates, that kind of thing. It's definitely a different feel, and you have to get used to, like, how will I use my time today is a lot more of a question you ask, as a professional basketball player than you do a UC San Diego student athlete.
Absolutely. And so you made that journey from San Diego to Ontario, but then the next one was all the way from Ontario to Gießen, Germany. So talk about how that transition was for you.
Yeah. So after that first year, you know, in the Canadian League, I had kind of made my mind up that I wanted to do another year playing professional basketball, but this time I wanted to go overseas. You know, I wanted to see a new country, a new place, something a little bit further away from home. And was fortunate enough to get an opportunity to go over to Gießen, Germany, as you mentioned, you know, which is kind of the middle of Germany, very close to Frankfurt. So yeah, that was definitely a bigger transition, I would say. You know, there's a language barrier to an extent, although Germany is very, a lot of people speak English, so that wasn't as bad, but definitely a different style of basketball, even from Canada, you know, and definitely a bigger jump in terms of the differences. But again, another community where I felt very supported by the team and the players and the coaches and stuff. So that was definitely made it a lot easier, I would say, in terms of that regard. But Germany, yeah, I mean, it's a different place for sure. It's a lot different than Canada, but you know, fortunately, a lot of people speak English, so it made that a little bit easier.
How did that style of professional basketball in Germany differ from that of Canada or even the U.S.?
Yeah, you know, I think in terms of, you know, like I mentioned, the Canadian League, a lot of really big time athletes, I would say. And in Germany, that's not to say there aren't athletic guys, but I think they rely a lot more on skill, you know, shooting, passing, you know, the ball moves a little bit more. It's a little bit less isolation based, a little bit less, you know, one-on-one kind of based, to use a couple basketball terms in there. You know, it's a lot more flow, a lot more passing, you know, but it not quite maybe as athletic in terms of just the guys who play there, you know, and the style. We played a lot less games, I would say, in Germany too. It was kind of once a week games, whereas in Canada you played, you know, sometimes 2-3 times a week. So it just it felt different, you know. It's maybe hard to describe unless you go out there and play. But it definitely was a different environment, a different feel to kind of adapt to, even from Canada or maybe even other leagues in Europe probably as well.
You mentioned that there's quite a few English speakers in Germany, but were there a lot of other cultural adjustments for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from, you know, your regular eating, shopping, that kind of thing, you know, things are different there to an extent. Some of the things maybe you're used to having, you know, in the States are maybe not there, but you know, again, my mind was pretty focused on basketball at that time. So as long as I had a court and, you know, a basketball and a court to go to, I was pretty much content with that. But I would say, you know, the German people in the place are pretty familiar with Americans. So, you know, they can cater to the needs or the differences and help you explain kind of, maybe some of the cultural differences that go on. But I don't really look back on it and think, oh, this was such a shock culturally, or I just kind of think it was a cool experience. And I definitely learned a little bit about, you know, the differences between, you know, what goes on in Germany and what goes on in San Diego, during my experience there.
Were you able to spend any time sightseeing in Germany?
Not as much as I would have liked to. You know, I think, I could have maybe taken it upon myself to go out and see a little bit more. One of the things I did get to do, and this is pretty prevalent across a lot of European countries, is visit the Christmas markets. You know, I went to the Frankfurt one a few times, and the one in Gießen that was kind of held locally, and those are really cool, and something that maybe you don't see quite as much in the States or at all in some states. And I went to Frankfurt a fair amount of times, but during our travels to play different teams, kind of visiting the south of Germany and even the north of Germany, seeing a couple of places. But, you know, I think I was maybe even to an extent too focused on basketball to maybe not enjoy all of the experience that I was being a part of. And I think if I did it again, I would have liked to maybe branch out a little bit more in terms of that and see a little bit more of the country and the neighboring countries especially as well.
Yeah, you clearly were focused on your basketball game. So what were some of the highlights for you during your time with the 46ers?
Yeah, I mean, we had in that season, we started a little slow. We won our first couple of games, so we started a little quick and then hit a kind of a plateau and end up losing, you know, a fair amount in a row. I don't remember the number. And then kind of started to build back up again. And so we had, you know, we had a couple of good games in a row. One where one of our players, a young guy, I don't remember how old he was, he's our point guard. He hit a game-winning shot on the road in a pretty raucous environment. One of the things about playing basketball games in Germany is it doesn't matter if, you know, if you're playing a very low-level leagues, whatever it is, people come to those games and they make a lot of noise, and it's a lot of fun to play in those environments. So even for our games, we had, you know, packed gyms on the road, different places, and a lot of fans that didn't want us to do well. And so him hitting that shot, I can't remember exactly who it was against or, I could remember, I can picture the gym and picture the scene and the play. Was pretty exciting to all celebrate as a team. And we rattled off a couple big wins towards the end of that season, which was a lot of fun. And celebrating those wins with the guys and was also a lot of fun. But, you know, those are kind of the biggest highlights. And, you know, definitely took a lot away from that whole experience in general from basketball standpoint and just a lifestyle standpoint.
You mentioned that the crowds were really great there. What was it like for you playing in such an exciting environment and having the fan support?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it a lot more fun, right? You know, the energy that those kind of crowds bring, whether they're rooting for you or against you, I think any basketball player will tell you that that's exciting to play and exciting to be a part of. And so, you know, having that pretty much on a consistent night-to-night basis, even in Canada, it was very similar, you know, was a lot of fun. And, you know, not to say that CCA crowds are not good, but I would say that, you know, in Germany and Canada, they were more consistently big crowds and making a lot of noise. So that was definitely an exciting aspect of playing professional basketball. I know that's very similar in a lot of places you go to play professional basketball, especially in Europe. They take their basketball very seriously and they really want to support and help their team win games.
When your time was up with the 46ers, where did you go next after that?
Yeah, so when I finished playing there, I came back to San Diego. This was kind of my home base. And while I was kind of deciding what I wanted to do, whether to join the graduate program I'm in now, whether I want to play another year, that kind of thing, I played a couple months of the season with the San Diego Waves of, I think it was called, I don't know if it's called something else now, but it's called the Basketball League, TBL. And I was looking for somewhere to play. I wanted to keep my skills sharp and happened to be the San Diego team that I was kind of referred to by Alex Lipovich, a former teammate of mine. And, you know, I kind of tried out for them and they were interested in having me come aboard and play. So I played a few games with the team before that season kind of wrapped up, kind of in home base in San Diego, which is a lot of fun, right? Because you can kind of, you're used to your normal place and your, you know, your normal restaurants, all that kind of stuff. And you also are playing basketball professionally. So that was a good way, I think, kind of, you know, what ended up being kind of the wrap up to my my professional basketball career, you could say, to kind of go out and be able to play at home and in San Diego and still be considered playing professional basketball as well.
We're chatting with Adam Klei here on this episode of Tritoncast. So Adam, once you'd finished your professional basketball career, how did you decide that you wanted to pursue a PhD at UC San Diego?
Yeah, I think you know, coming back to school in some capacity was something I definitely wanted to do. When I finished my undergrad at UC San Diego, kind of in bioengineering and bioinformatics especially, you know, I felt like I had kind of learned the tip of the iceberg almost, right? There was just so much more I felt like I needed to learn in order to actually apply this really cool science in the real world. And so I kind of had in the back of my mind, you know, when I did graduate that I wanted to come back and potentially get my PhD or master's in bioinformatics. And so, you know, when that kind of last experience playing basketball was up in San Diego, I said to myself, well, do you want to play another year or do you want to kind of come back to school now? And the timing seemed right given, you know, I had deferred a couple of years of admission to the program, specifically the bioinformatics and systems biology program at UC San Diego. And I felt like this was just the right time to kind of come back and start that process almost, or re-come back into that kind of aspect of things. And so fortunately I was able to kind of, you know, get in the admissions process again and join the program this fall and kind of start the next phase, you could say, of my learning in bioinformatics and of my kind of career progression to an extent.
For those of us who aren't quite as science inclined, what exactly does bioinformatics and systems biology encompass?
Yeah, I mean, it's very broad reaching. It's a very, I'd say, multifaceted discipline. But essentially, it comes down to basically using computers, using kind of computational methods and mathematics, statistics to solve biological problems. So, you know, for many years, people have been making all kinds of cool discoveries, whether it be improving technologies, computers, all that kind of stuff, algorithms. And I think over the last 20 years or so, and especially the last 10 years, we've seen that applied to kind of the field of biology and medicine. And so we're seeing kind of this technological revolution, you could say, in biology. And I just kind of fell in love with that, that idea, and then kind of thought that's where science was going in biology. So that's kind of what I jumped onto. And I mean, essentially at the end of the day, I'm using a computer. I'm sitting behind a computer typing some code that hopefully it helps somebody somewhere with kind of medical issues or biological problems.
Really interesting stuff. So you just finished your first year with that program. Was it what you expected it to be?
To an extent. You always go, whether it be professional basketball, whether it be undergraduate studies, you always go in with some kind of expectation of how things are going to go. And, usually it's not quite the expectation, even if it comes close. And, I came in with relatively little experience in research, and I wasn't necessarily sure what to expect from that standpoint, but it's been, a wonderful experience so far. And, I'm part of another really, really fun community, right? We talked about teams before. The team I was part of at UC San Diego is, a member of the basketball team, but my new team of people in this program have been wonderfully supportive. It's been a lot of fun this first year, kind of getting back into science, and all that comes with that. And I think I've really enjoyed it this first year, and I'm excited to see where I'm able to take it, in the next coming years.
Yeah. You compared your basketball team with the team that you're on now. Do you feel like there is a lot of crossover between the things you learn playing basketball and your academic pursuits?
Absolutely. I think, I know a lot of, this is kind of a shared feeling amongst a lot of people who have gone through collegiate athletics or that kind of thing. But there's just so many aspects of working on a team and understanding how a group of people who maybe come from different backgrounds and have different skill sets and can do different things really well, understanding how those skills and those backgrounds can mesh and produce something bigger than the kind of the sum of their parts. I think that's just, inherent in, good collegiate athletics teams and as maybe we talked about a little bit before, our basketball team had that cohesiveness and that feel of just like we're all in it to do something bigger than ourselves. And I think that translates directly to any kind of team you want to join going forward, whether it be in bioinformatics or business or anything like that. And there's so many skills that I picked up from being a UC San Diego student athlete that translate wonderfully to this program and have translated already.
Yeah, it's incredible to see all the success that you've been having in all your different pursuits. And since graduating, you've really remained a big supporter of the UC San Diego men's basketball team and Triton Athletics in general. So can you talk a little bit about how you've stayed involved?
Absolutely. Kind of starting off with just, when I was in Germany, in Germany and Canada as a professional, always trying to keep updated, texting the team when I was there, texting guys, Coach Olin, all the other Coach Allard, Coach Clowry, Coach Terry, all those guys, just kind of checking in and congratulating them on successes, that kind of thing. And when I came back in the summers, between seasons and whatnot, I trained with the team a lot. I did open gym workouts with them. I would come and try to participate in practices if I could, that kind of thing. I did a lot of workouts at Spanos with the strength and conditioning staff over there, who I made really good friends with a lot of people there as well. So I just try to stay in touch with the university, athletics department, all those people as much as possible. Come back to campus when I was in town and use the facilities that they so kindly offered for me to use, and also to interact with the current players, that kind of thing. And then when I did come back to come to school here this last year, I don't know what my title is. I still don't necessarily know what it is going forward, but I worked with the team, especially with the redshirt freshmen. I ran them through a lot of workouts and things like that. And came to the games and sat behind the bench, that kind of thing. So, it's they gave so much to me, this program did. And I always wanted to, the opportunity to give back to it and still be a part of it. Fortunately they've let me stick around for as long as I have. And I'm excited as to kind of continue to be a part of it going forward, especially with the Division I transition and all that. But yeah, just always trying to stay as connected to it as possible. Cause like I said, it gave so much to me beyond basketball, and hopefully I can kind of return some of that back to the program as well.
When you interact with the current UC San Diego athletes, what sort of encouragement can you offer them, having been in their shoes?
Yeah, I definitely think, I can provide a perspective that is somewhat similar to a lot of them. you know, having kind of, you know, walk the path to say, it's definitely different though. Right. I think the culture, the amount of winning they do nowadays, is a little different than I was around, and things have changed. Right. So, these guys are maybe experiencing slightly different things than I did, and, going through, you know, with the Division I transition, something I never had to be a part of, slightly different, you know, kind of stuff with the times, the current times and the coronavirus, dealing with that. Like I don't necessarily always have the answer, but, I can definitely provide some support in kind of, you know, what I went through and, you know, from a basketball standpoint, teach things that work for me, you know, that potentially could be useful for them down the line. And, also just offer, you know, any kind of support I can, when it comes to just the day-to-day, the you know, life things, et cetera, to the players. I think, hopefully I can, you know, leave a mark in that regard. But, I definitely think it was helpful for me to be able to talk to people that had come through the program and kind of have a different perspective. And hopefully I can kind of, continue that trend and be that for these guys.
So you're back at UC San Diego for now with your PhD program. Do you see yourself staying in San Diego for the long term?
You know, it's funny. I remember my mom always brings this up. You know, it's one of those mom things, where she says, "Oh yeah, when you were young, you used to always say, when you retire, when you know, where you want to live when you grow up was San Diego." And you know, when I was a kid, I said that because it seemed like the perfect temperature. You know, I loved the idea of 75 and sunny pretty much year round. And you know, beyond just the wonderful climate, I definitely have fallen in love with the city and a lot of the people that are here. So long-term future, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to end up happening. I'm definitely also a person who likes to experience different things in different places. So I don't necessarily think I'll be in San Diego for the rest of my life, but, you know, for the rest of this PhD, I'm going to be here. And then, you know, maybe when I do finally kind of settle down, San Diego will definitely be near the top of the list of places I'd like to be in, you know, so it'll always be kind of I have a lot of homes. I've, you know, kind of bounced around a lot growing up, but I have a lot of homes, and San Diego is one of them and will always be that for me.
Once you finish the PhD program, what do you see yourself doing long-term for your career?
Yeah, it's definitely a question I got to keep asking myself, because I don't necessarily have a super great plan formulated. You know, I've always been someone who's really enjoyed teaching. You know, I've been a constant since high school for me. So I'm definitely very interested in professorship. So maybe pursuing that post PhD. It feels a long way off, but it'll be here before I know it. But there'll potentially will be opportunities. You know, that, like I said, the field I'm in is just becoming bigger and bigger every year. And San Diego itself is a hub for a lot of these technology companies that do my kind of science. So there might be opportunities to jump into an industry position that could be enticing down the line. But kind of the current way I'm leaning, I would say, is towards pursuing, you know, professorship at university. It would be lovely to stay at UC San Diego potentially. I know that's kind of long, long down the line thinking, and maybe wishful thinking, but that's kind of where I'm leaning and thinking in the current moment.
Well, UC San Diego would sure be lucky to have you. We are just about out of time for today. So thank you so much for joining us, Adam. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
So much for Adam Clyde of balance in his time at UC San Diego. I thought it was interesting, just the story of him getting to La Jolla in the first place from Alaska, and then parlaying his UC San Diego experience into international experience, and then coming back to what is now home in La Jolla.
Right. So interesting hearing about those transitions that he made. I mean, from Alaska to UC San Diego, and then it was almost like a reverse transition again, going from that warmer climate of UC San Diego to that colder climate of Niagara. So lots of success, of course, everywhere that he went, which was incredible.
Yeah, Jenny, I'm surprised you didn't ask him to rank his climates in order.
I think the clear winner would be San Diego. Looking ahead to episode 9, we'll be joined by Claudia Cox, a recent graduate of the track and field program. She told us about what it was like serving as the Triton Athletes Council president and the emotional experience of having her senior season cut short due to the COVID-19 pandemic. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to episode 8 of TritonCast. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on the platform of your choice. You can follow TritonCast on Twitter @TritonCast and email Jenny and me your feedback Our email address is tritoncast@ucsd.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here on the podcast next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.